discreetly and securely right to your door. You can also hold precious metals in your IRA. This allows you to protect your retirement savings with the ultimate safe haven, assets of gold and silver. Your metals are held in the form of physical coins and bars in a private depository under your name and on your behalf. Simply visit BrighteonMetals.com today. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your financial security. Shouldn't you at least look into it? Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals, in business since 1976. Visit BrighteonMetals.com today.
J&M Jewelry provides online jewelry appraisals that are convenient, secure, and affordable. Appraisals are usually completed within 48 hours and sent directly to your email. Contact us today or visit our website to use our appraisal request form. J&MJewelry.com.
Welcome once again, folks, to the Sheriff Mac Show. We do have an amazing guest here the first half hour and then another one the second half. Thank you for being here. We appreciate your support and we appreciate that you are involved as patriots of America in the restoration of our God-given civil rights, our God-given Constitution. Folks, I think I met this man back in 2013. He was then the sheriff of Milwaukee. He led the way nationally in how we unify and organize with our citizens to defend our counties and our neighborhoods and ourselves. And this man really had the courage to step up, to step out, to stand up and protect our God-given rights, defend our God-given rights as sheriff of Milwaukee. I am talking about Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. And Sheriff, thank you so much for what you've done and for being here today. Well, you and I have shared the stage quite a few times, and I have never and never will grow tired of hearing your public speeches. They are phenomenal, especially when you bring in the responsibility of every peace officer and sheriff in this country to uphold and defend the Constitution and to keep our oath. And I know you're headed towards that solution. I know that you've been part of that solution now for 10, 15 years. I don't know how soon you started that maybe you weren't on my map at the time. I will say this. When we had you at our conference in 2013 and at that conference, we named you CSPOA Sheriff of the Year. I was totally impressed with, one, your humility, but also your knowledge of the Constitution. And I remember that you held up the pocket Constitution and said, I don't have this memorized, but I keep it with me and I keep one close no matter where I go. So if I have to refer to something, I do. I think that's a great example to every public official. We should all have that in our pocket. Isn't that correct?
Correct. And every citizen across the United States should have one as well. Excuse me. You got to stand for something. You have to stand for something, and people have to know what you are and what you are. And when it comes to leadership and law enforcement, it's about the Constitution, for heaven's sakes. At least people know. They may disagree with some of my takes on things, some of my positions on things, but at least they know that I stay more to the United States Constitution, because that is first and foremost what's important, especially in a law enforcement position.
Now, you retired from sheriff about, 5 years ago, 6 years ago?
I don't know. About 4 or 5 years ago, correct. Yeah. Gone fast.
Okay. And what have you done since then? What have you been doing?
A lot. We could probably spend the rest of the show talking about it, but I'll try to abbreviate it here. I went out to help the Trump administration after he won in 2016 and I was a surrogate for the America First Super PAC, the family, Trump family Super PAC. I was traveling the nation, oftentimes with the Vice President of the United States. And our job was to promote the president's policies and to promote the the president's America First agenda. So I spent 2 years. I told him I'd give him 2 years of my time out there, and I did. And after that, I returned back home, which was always the plan, and that home is Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Since I've been back here, I started my own nonprofit, a 501c4. It's called Rise Up Wisconsin. People can go to riseupwisconsin.com. And what that is, Sheriff, is it's a grassroots political organizing activity, and that's what the objective is, to organize the individual at the grassroots level. You know, in our politics today, unless you're a member of a group, you don't really have a voice. Well, there are a lot of people out here, especially in the state of Wisconsin, who don't belong to a group, and they don't want to belong to a group. They know that they don't, their rights don't come from membership in a group. Their rights come as an individual. And so I'm trying to organize and give voice to the individual at the grassroots level. It's nonpartisan, but it's trying to get the attention and keep the heat on the people who are supposed to be serving us instead of serving themselves, and that's our elected officials.
Wow. Well, way to go. So we appreciate the work you're doing. I know you've been busy because when I go places, people are, hey, I'm going to a Sheriff Clark event next week, or I just saw Sheriff Clark last week. And I said, well, when you see him, tell him I said hello. Let me ask you, so you actually, the last couple of weeks of Trump's campaign, you actually traveled with him in his bus, isn't that correct?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't traveling in the bus, but I met him at campaign stops. We were traveling in a bus. It was a tour across America, an America First tour. And we were holding rallies, and of course the rallies were, they culminated in the appearance of the then candidate for president of the United States, Donald Trump. And boy, what an experience it was, because I got to meet Americans from all across this great country, all walks of life. And you know what? I learned a lot about the American people. The American people are good people. This is a great country, even though it's being torn apart at the seams by political adversaries. But the reason I say it is a great country is because of its people. It's the people that make this country great.
Amen to that. I had that opportunity the last several years as well. And last year, we just did a review of my 2021 activities and the CSPOA. On my own, I actually attended and spoke and presented at 72 different events across America. 72. And man, so I keep wondering, when is it that I get to retire, Sheriff?
You don't.
Maybe when
and
you
the reason
do.
You don't.
Maybe when you do.
Which I've learned, very, very early on is there's no finish line to this thing. There's no finish line to this fight for freedom and liberty in America. Every generation from the inception of the Constitution, every generation has had that defining moment where they had to stand up and be counted. They had to stand up, risk themselves, risk their fortune, risk their standing in their community to point out to people, here's where I stand on this issue. You go through history, right? The American Revolution. Someone had to step up and fight. You move into the Civil War to end that ugly institution of slavery. Somebody had to step up and fight. You look through two world wars. You look through the Vietnam War. You look at the Korean War. All these wars, generations had to step up. A lot of people died for fighting for freedom. So I just see it right now as my generation's opportunity to stand up and be counted and to fight and hang on with you know, everything that we can within our bodies to maintain this freedom and liberty to pass on to the next generation. Sheriff, you know this, if somebody doesn't fight, well, then this thing just goes away. So that's part of my new mission right now. I'm a foot soldier in this fight for freedom and liberty across the United States. That's job one. But job 1A is to defend the honor, the service, the commitment, the sacrifice, and the integrity of the American police officer.
Oh, yeah. Man, no kidding. Well, you sound like you're as busy as I am. I need to ask you, I asked General Flynn this a few months ago when I had him on the show. And I would be very interested to know your take on this. And I know you could list 10, 15 real easily. What is the number one issue? What is the number one problem? What is the worst thing that is happening to or in America today? What is the worst thing?
We got away from the Constitution. We're supposed to be a constitutional republic. We're not that anymore. I don't know what we are, but we aren't that. And until we get back to the aspects of the Constitution and have a full understanding of it, we're going to continue to get mired in all of this quicksand. We're going to continue to get mired in all of this infighting within the United States. And, you know, the infighting, I think it was Abraham Lincoln who said, this country comes to an end. It isn't going to be from some outside adversary. It's going to be from within. And that's what you see happening right now. That's why I use the phrase, we're coming apart at the seams. And so, you know, you mentioned General Flynn served this country with honor and distinction. I know General mm-hmm. Flynn, met him several times, had a conversation, had lunch with him in Arlington, Virginia. And we got to throw some ideas and share some thoughts. We still stay in contact to this day through text messages. He's a real friend. He's a true American. He's taught me a lot about leadership. He's taught me a lot about sacrifice. This man is just an example of someone who put everything out on the line, had his life destroyed, for heaven's sakes, by political adversaries only because of his political position. It's not because of anything else. And, you know, it's sad that politics has denigrated into that, you know, in the year in the 21st century. But that's the way it is. I'm not going to sit back here and whine and lament and wish it were something else. It's not. But what you have to have if you're going to exist in this environment, and I think President Trump showed it better than anybody else, you have to have the will to fight, for heaven's sakes. You have to fight for what you believe in. This man, President Trump, I say that with respect, this man sacrificed everything. He didn't need this. His life was going well. He had all the wealth that he ever needed. He was happy, but he wanted to serve his country. And when people want to serve their country, like our military, like our law enforcement officers, we shouldn't destroy them for it.
Amen to that. I my heart has been broken as I've watched the hate groups that the Southern Poverty Law Center says they watch and want to make sure that they don't get out of control. The hate groups of Antifa and BLM have been going after police, have been encouraging to kill police, and have done so themselves. I have absolutely had my heart broken watching that happen. And I know you have too. We've talked about this. I guess we should tell the people also, we kind of passed over this. What did you start doing as sheriff that got you so much attention? And shouldn't have gotten a lot of attention because all the sheriffs should do this. This should be something that's quite common among sheriffs, but what did you do as sheriff of Milwaukee? What did you do that brought you to national prominence?
And I wasn't in search of it, by the way. Milwaukee County was enough for me in terms of a jurisdiction. But what I did was within Milwaukee County, I started talking about people's right to defend themselves. We had some crime waves moving through. And like you said, that's a long time ago. And here we are, you know, what, 15, 20 years later, and we're still talking about law and order and crime that's out of control. But anyway, after a spate of some home invasion robberies, I took to the airwaves. I used my platform, if you will, as sheriff of Milwaukee County, and I put out some radio ads reminding people that their personal security was their responsibility. They were the front lines in the fight to defend themselves. And I gave them some tips on, you know, how to do that. I said, consider taking a firearm safety course so you can defend your families until we get there. You know, there's this saying in law enforcement, you've heard this, Sheriff, throughout your career, you know, when seconds matter, the police are minutes away. That's a long time when you have to wait 5, 10, 15, and with escalating response times becomes even more paramount. Well, some gun rights groups latched onto it, and it became this huge firestorm. I never predicted this. I couldn't have predicted it. I couldn't have scripted it. And it went national, And people started to listen to me. So I actually built a platform, and I started talking about, sure, the Second Amendment, but I also started talking about the Constitution. I was talking about the rule of law. I was talking about self-defense. I was talking about all of these issues that people, they already knew they had a right to, but they became shy about expressing that sort of thing. So I tried to give them some courage and said, stand up. Stand up, for heaven's sakes. Stand on your rights. Let people know you're not going to give these things away. You're not going to give this up, and make it clear. And as that happens, the movement starts to galvanize. And that's what happened to me. It became this national movement. And that's how I got on the national platform.
And that's how we found you. And I have to ask you one other thing then with that. For that area, for a black sheriff to stand for America and to stand for the principles of liberty as expressed in the Constitution, you had to have received a lot of kickback and pushback from Democrats, from NAACP, from the black community in your area, from other public officials. And during that time, I even heard that you were called racist. How did that happen?
That was one of the kinder things that I was called, Sarah. The hate really came from all angles. There's no doubt about that. But I was prepared for it because, you know, I've studied people who came before me who did a better job than I did in terms of leadership. People like New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, former NYPD Commissioner Bill Bratton, former Secretary of State Colin Powell, and others. And I read about their leadership styles, and I read a bit about some of the things that they went through, and I experienced some of the same things. So that's what I mean when I said I was prepared for it. The thing that bothered me the most, and I want to make this clear, I'm very clear, when you mentioned the black community, I had the support of the black community here in Milwaukee County. I won four elections, and I won the black vote every time. And Milwaukee has a large contingent of black residents. So it's a myth, and I'm not saying you're perpetrating it, but it's a myth out there when these black hate groups say that I don't like black people or black people don't support me. Nothing could be further from the truth. So, you know, it's one of the things that you have to put up with, unfortunately, when you take on a position of leadership. You know, you can either shrink or you can step up and accept the responsibility, and that's what I did.
I'm glad you clarified that, because I do know there was one lady that was on the city council or county commissioner or something, and she really went after you. But you really got attacked by the chief of police in Milwaukee. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, he was friend kind of mine, Ed Flynn.
He was pro-gun control, right?
Yeah, Ed Flynn, he was no friend of mine. He's not there anymore. His career ended going up in flames. He tried to carry the torch of the Democrat Party, the Democrat operatives, in attacking me. Look, I've forgotten more about law enforcement than Ed Flynn ever knew. So, you know, that's what I rested on. The fact that I spent 24 years with the agency that he was then leading, I said, hey, I've been in the streets, Ed. You haven't been. I've been on the front lines. You haven't been. I'm not going to sit here and be lectured by you about policing in my hometown. He's from out east, the city of Milwaukee.
Sam, go ahead, break in anytime you want.
Thanks, Sam. It's a pleasure. People understand that already. It's the number one rule in politics. is admit what people already know, for heaven's sakes. And there is this, you know, dark little secret. The black community supports the Second Amendment. The problem is that they're afraid to speak up because they see what happens to me. They see what happens to other black individuals who stand for something. They see how they're attacked. Yep. And most people don't have the stomach for it, so I get it. So I'll be their voice. Yeah. But the fact is, what I always tell people when they want to argue gun control with me, I say, don't argue with me. Don't argue with the courts. Go argue with God, because those rights came from him. Well, I think what people are doing is they're developing some courage to speak up about it, for heaven's sakes. You know, self-defense is the first law of nature. You know, it is the first law of nature, to want to survive, for heaven's sakes. And the one way to do that is you have to defend yourself first. If you don't defend yourself, if you don't keep yourself safe, you can't keep your family safe. You can't keep your neighbors safe. So the law enforcement was only designed to be a redundancy in that sort of thing, to organize it around more in more orderly fashion in terms of the courts and prosecution and juries and so on and so forth. But no person has been asked to forego their right of self-defense just because we have police and just because we have courts, so on and so forth. So what I'm trying to do is just instill in people the courage to stand up and go, no, those are my rights. Leave them alone. I don't want a court telling me what to do. These are not group rights, by the way. These are individual rights. In other words, if you find some individual that goes and sprays up a schoolyard and kills kids, we punish that person independently, and we make that person pay for it. We don't make every gun owner in the United States pay for that crime, but that's what we're doing now. Amen. Is we're making these group rights, they're individual rights, every single one of them.
Very well said.
Well, it's good. It's good news that Americans are understanding and making a difference. We've only got a couple of minutes left with you. We'll have you back soon.
A few seconds.
Abel, we know you're traveling. Quickly, though, Sheriff, what is the future for you, David Clark? Where do we see you next? What's going on?
Yeah, the future is now. Foot Soldier for Freedom and Liberty all across America. And if people go to riseupwisconsin.com, they can get involved. They can help me in this fight for freedom. I don't need to be the tip of the spear anymore. I just want to be a foot soldier. And that's my role right now.
God bless you, Sheriff Clark. For Sam Bushman and Richard Mack at the CSPOA, we're all working together for our sacred color of liberty. That is God, family, and country. Right here on Brighty on TV, the Sheriff Mack Show continues in seconds.
Nora.com. Register now to attend February 3rd, an educational webinar on how to use satellite phones, how they work, and why they are such an essential backup. Go to satphonewebinar.com and register for this great event, co-hosted by our very own Mike Adams. The webinar is coming February 3rd. This is a free event. If you ever wanted to learn about satellite phones, now's the time. Why does anyone need a satellite phone? When I travel by car, I turn off my cell phone and only use a satellite phone. Have you ever wondered if cell phone location tracking data is also being used to control the movement of people? Just walking around with a sat phone records no location data. Frequently asked questions, things that we'll cover in the webinar. How much radiation is produced by sat phone? Will they still work through heavy rain or snow? How do I dial other sat phones, landlines, and mobile phones? How can other people call me? How do I send and receive text messages? Do sat phone minutes expire? How do the plans work? What's the best way to charge my sat phone with solar? Will sat phones work from inside cars or buildings? How reliable are sat phone networks? All of this and more will be covered. If you ever wondered if a sat phone is right for you, join the seminar. Go to satphonewebinar.com and register for this free event. February 3rd, co-hosted by our very own Mike Adams. Satphonewebinar.com. Register today.
Treasure Island coins and precious metals. Mike Adams of naturalnews.com says, 2020 has shown us that we must prepare for the unexpected. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your fiscal security during the coming financial pandemic. Shipments of real gold and silver are delivered safely, discreetly, and securely right to your door. You can also hold precious metals in your IRA. This allows you to protect your retirement savings with the ultimate safe haven, assets of gold and silver. Your metals are held in the form of physical coins and bars in a private depository under your name and on your behalf. Simply visit BrighteonMetals.com today. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your financial security. Shouldn't you at least look into it? Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals, in business since 1976. Visit BrighteonMetals.com today.
Gentlemen, welcome back to the Sheriff Mack Show, simulcast with Liberty Roundtable Live. Liberty Roundtable is a nationally syndicated talk show, 6 days a week, 2 hours a day. Most importantly, you got to know it's on Brighteon Radio. Mike Adams and the crew at the Brighteon Networks have not only put together an incredible TV network, as you see now, Brighteon.tv, but they have a radio network as well, full of incredible talk show hosts. BrighteonRadio.com is where it can be found, and we're delighted to partner with them. And, of course, the Sheriff Mack Show. The Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association is the organization that the good sheriff put together after he beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court. And now he educates across the country 24/7. He does his work. I don't see where he gets any sleep. He travels, he speaks, he writes, and he's also on your TV. Sheriff?
Thank you, Sam. And again, folks, this show is brought to you by CSPOA.org. And you can click on to our one of our other sponsors there, Global Healing. Man, they've got plant-based zinc, vitamin C, vitamin D3, quercetin, detoxidine. Folks, they have got so many different products. I even did their foot pads, detoxing out of your feet. So anyway, love their products, love their support. They are totally on board.
How do we give detoxidine to government, Sheriff?
Say that again?
How do we give detoxidine to all government?
Oh, yeah, no kidding. We need to detox the corruption, the ubiquitous corruption of Washington, D.C. Anyway, when you go to CSPOA.org, go click on health and order the best health products you can for your family right there. And speaking of health products, we have a health practitioner on our show, the second half today, Dr. Ben Tapper. And man, oh man, has he been the rounds with local governments, and he has been trying to tell the truth about, dun, 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 COVID-19, coronavirus, Omicron, and any other thing you can think of that he wants to tell the truth about, and he gets shut down at every turn. Dr. Ben
but
Tapper,
not on the Sheriff Mack Show.
Welcome. Yeah, and welcome to the Sheriff Mack. Oh, yeah, no kidding. And welcome to the Sheriff Mack Show, my friend.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been great to hear from you guys, and thanks so much for inviting me on.
Can we call you Dr. Ben?
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
You go by Dr. Ben or Dr. Tapper?
Yeah, either one's fine. So,
give us a 30-second on who you are, Dr. Tapper. Tell us where you're from and give us a little kind of a background and then how you decided to stand up for the COVID, because most aren't willing.
Right. Well, you know, I come from a family of chiropractors. My dad practiced for 43 years, and basically he passed the baton on to me at an early age. But my dad spoke out against the vaccine corruption since the 70s. And so at an early age, I learned a lot about the corruption of vaccines in the vaccine realm. I was never vaccinated. My brother and my sister were never vaccinated. You know, my kids were never vaccinated, and we're healthy as can be. And, you know, we so I saw the corruption been going on. We started Nebraska's freedom. We started Nebraskans for Medical Freedom in 2017. We saw a lot of the bills coming our way, the draconian bills that were sweeping the nation, trying to take away your rights and freedoms to refuse a vaccination. And, you know, we saw these bills. So we started this group, and we kept a very close eye with the legislation. We saw all this stuff coming our way in 2019. And, you know, And basically, nobody knew who I was prior to Corona Baloney, but it was, you know, I started speaking out in these city council meetings and those speeches went around the world. And that's basically what put me on the map. And I've been labeled the so-called disinformation dozen. You know, even the president called me out, said I was, you know, responsible for 65% of the world's misinformation on vaccinations. And yeah. So it's comical.
Yeah. Well, he's kind of responsible for some misinformation too. Well, so that I love that part, and I got to clarify this. You've never had a flu vaccination. You've never had a smallpox vaccination.
I've never had a single vaccine in my life.
Well, how do you keep from getting the flu every year? What's the matter with you?
Right. And so that's the thing is, though, you know, we have to look at the vaccinations, the history, because if we don't remember the history, we're going to be doomed to repeat it. And if you look back, yeah. I have an article, you can't really see, I'm kind of cut into this circle, but there, I have an article that was written 100 years ago during the Spanish flu that talked about how the influenza vaccine 100 years ago was very much experimental. And if you look at the flu vaccine package inserts, I have a Fluvel package insert. Right in the disclaimer of the insert, it says that there's been no controlled trials adequately demonstrating a decrease in influenza after vaccination. So why on earth would you want to be experimented on? And that's the same song and dance 100 years ago. And the parallels to the Spanish flu to today's time with Corona is so, it's uncanny. It's very eerie. The parallels they talk about in this article 100 years ago, how the masks do nothing to stop the virus. And they said, does a hog fence keep out mosquitoes? And, you know, we've yet to see the influenza on a microscope, but yet we pretend like it exists out in the world. And it's just, you know, we're blaming this disease on, you know, bad luck. Like it's just, you're just going to walk into this. And, you know, we don't talk anything about lifestyle choices or the promotion of health. It's always, you know, we're blaming the germ or this bad, the droplet on the spread of the cause of disease. And that's really like blaming the flies for the trash. You know, we're not hearing, you know, things to promote health. And we have such a wonderful opportunity to teach the masses what it means to be healthy. You know, we need to eat well, we need to move well, we need to think well, we need to pray well, and we can be well. You know, your level of health is really the innate expression of how you eat, move, think, pray, and relate. And that's what it's all about. But we're not hearing that.
So, wow. Doctor, why the propaganda to this level? In other words, what's the agenda here? They know everything that you are saying is the truth.
Right. And that's the thing. You know, and going back to that, you know, the agenda, it's very clear those that really truly care about people and want people well, you know, because we have an epidemic right now and it's chronic disease. I mean, 80% of Americans right now are suffering with a chronic disease associated with poor lifestyle choices. 60% of our children are suffering with a chronic disease associated with poor lifestyle choices. You know, 1 in 6 children have a neurological developmental delay or disorder. You know, 1 in 11 has asthma. Now 1 in 36 has autism, you know, and I mean, look at 50% of the population getting cancer. 700,000 people died last year of heart disease. 600,000 people died of cancer. Roughly 300,000 people died of obesity.
How many died of heart disease last year?
It was just shy of 700,000. It was over 600,000 deaths associated with.
And that's about the same every year, right?
Yeah, same every year. But we're not hearing. There's no media outcry. There's no government mandates to promote exercise or good food choices. It's you know, we're not hearing about that. It's crickets. And so that's why the agenda becomes very clear. It's like, well, they talk out of their, you know, two sides of their mouth. They act like they care so deeply about these people that are dying from Corona, but yet they could care less about the heart disease and other things like that, because there's no money in healthy lifestyle choices. And that's the only thing to prevent really heart disease is making good food choices. I mean, Benjamin Franklin said an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. In other words, it's so much easier to stay well than it is to get well. And we need to value our health now before we get sick. But the agenda, going back to that, you know, the answer to that is really it's government control, and they're using Corona as a Trojan horse to change society as we know it. I mean, you look at the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab. I mean, the guy is within a couple of years' time, everybody's going to know who he is. And I mean, I bought some interesting books, COVID-19, The Great Reset, and I bought, you know, Behind the Green Mask, and and the fourth industrial revolution. These are interesting reads, and really they're not hiding the agenda behind here. We just have to have the wisdom and discernment to see through the baloney and to realize that they are coming after our freedoms, and they're going to change society as we know it. And if you look at 2019, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, early in the year, they stated that they cannot force vaccinations, but they can force compliance. Well, how are they going to do that? And it's very interesting when the vaccine summit of 2019, they also they put in vaccines we trust, and they took out in God we trust, and they put in vaccines we trust. And really, that's where I say that this is almost like a spiritual and psychological warfare on the minds of the people, and they're putting this vaccine on the pedestal, like this is the only way out of this pandemic, and this is the only way to health, and that's just not true. We need to understand that, you know, these vaccines are a poor way of obtaining health. I mean, I got into a debate with a gentleman. He's a friend of mine, and I love him to death. But the dude is almost 400 pounds. He's morbidly obese, and he's trying to educate me on what it means to be healthy. And the only solution he has is getting the vaccine. And I say, well, what about, you know, food choices and moving well? I'm like, you can barely get off the couch. And, you know, I love you, but you're the last person I'm going to take advice from. But that's the stage we're at right now.
Okay, so what is it that people should do, one, to prevent coronavirus, just besides good food choices, if specific to the coronavirus or COVID-19 or Omicron or Delta or whatever else there is, what should people do to prevent it? And if they get it, what should they do to remedy the disease or virus or whatever you want to call it?
Well, that's a great question. First and foremost, we need to value our health now and not panic. You know, one of my great mentors said that fear is the fire that fuels the furnace of disease. And, you know, the media is really, there's blood on their hands because they're pushing mass hysteria and, you know, this almost anxiety-ridden, fear-mongering propaganda with a death count constantly on the television of 2020 and part of 2021. It was nonstop and just constant fear-mongering being pushed on the people. I mean, I got patients that were having the common cold and they were almost panicking that they're going to die. It's like, you know, right. When did you ever fear of the flu and the cold? You know, and the thing is that, you know, these people aren't dying outside of the hospitals. They're dying with the protocols that are put into place in these hospitals. They're a top-down protocol from authoritative administrative doctors who are not doctors in the field or practicing physicians. They're doctors with an agenda. They're like, you know, Fauci. They're top-down protocols, and they're not allowing these doctors to truly practice. They're tying their hands, and they say, you follow these protocols, that's it. This is what we do. Well, I have a good friend right now that's sick.
By the way, though, doctor, I don't mean to interrupt, but these protocols are 180 degrees from everything that every medical professional has been taught as well, right? Let's be clear about that.
Amen. Exactly right. Exactly right. You know that, and it's like, you know, I have a good friend right now that's in the hospital. He had a lung issue prior to him getting sick. Well, he got pneumonia, okay? And so he went in there, and what did they do? They put him on remdesivir and ventilator, and they put him in an induced coma. And it's been like 22 days now, and he's been almost, there's been no progress. And he's a good friend of mine, and I just want to pull my hair out. I'm like, if there's no changes, why are you continuing to use the same therapeutics and modalities on him if there's no change? I mean, that's clinicals 101. If you're using something that's not working, then why are you doing it? That's the definition of insanity. And it's like these people are still using these protocols, and they're not thinking logically, and common sense is not so common. And that's the biggest crime in this, is that these physicians are not allowed to be a physician. And I was taught that the field of practice is what graduates a true physician. We need to stop listening to these administrative doctors because they don't care about the people. They don't care about health. Neither does Big Pharma. And we're taking medical advice, and they truly have blood on their hands right now. And it's criminal.
So after they get it, what should people do?
Well, so I, first of all, don't panic. You know, I think that there are measures you can do. You know, I know, like I talked to Dr. Peter McCullough, and he said great things about his treatment protocols. I mean, they've been using hydroxychloroquine, and I know people, oh my gosh, ivermectin. But, you know, those are drugs that have been around for a long time. They've had they've been shown to be helpful. But, you know, I believe in prevention. That's where I come in. That's where my area, my scope of practice is. So I we need to move well. We need to supplement, get away from toxicity and deficiency into purity and sufficiency. So we do that by detoxifying, and we also do that by supplementation. So I live in the Midwest in Nebraska. We don't get much sunlight here. We're in the middle of the winter. Unless we get 30 minutes of summer sunlight, we will be deficient in vitamin D3. And most people in the corona deaths, they have comorbidities, but if you look at the elderly, the underlying denominator there is that they have a deficiency in vitamin D3. And so we need to really supplement with vitamin D3. I believe in that. We need to get good probiotics, get a fruit and vegetable soil-based probiotic. We need to watch the sugar. We need good sleep. Those are things that I recommend, getting on zinc, magnesium, all those things that decrease stress levels. Well, if you get sick,
right, God forbid, I say something. Now add one thing for me on this. Is there really a coronavirus, COVID-19, or has that been a lie too? My personal opinion is I got the COVID-19. I know it exists because I had it. I almost died. And I did not go to the hospital. No way. And I think I saved my life by doing that. But this is the thing. Some people say that it hasn't been really identified and that it's just another strain of the flu, which they've already said anyway. Is the coronavirus real? I don't care where it came from or who created it, who fabricated it, who's perpetuated this whole thing, maybe perpetrated this whole thing is a better term. Who's done this? I don't care. I don't care. I already know about all the corruption in government. I can't stand government. It's bought and paid for. It's a George Soros government. I don't care. Is the coronavirus real? I know they've misused it. I know they've used it to fearmonger, and I know they've lied a lot about it. Is the coronavirus real?
So we have to look at observation because when in doubt, look at through the lenses of observation. What can we observe? That's where I always go down to. I don't want to say get into conspiracies and say something that we can't see. I mean, they always say the science is settled, and well, that's a bumper sticker slogan. Science is observational; it's never settled. So I look at the clinical lenses of observation, and so I look at the testing. I look at all these different things. I'm going to tell you for certain. In the fall of 2019, I saw some manipulation of data through the National Vital Reporting System for the CDC. Most people don't even know how to look at those numbers. Okay. Especially in 2020, most people started looking at the NBSRS numbers and said, where did the flu go? There's manipulation of data. There's manipulation of deaths. We know that. They were classifying deaths that were not associated with the virus, but I had one patient that died of a motorcycle accident. They called it COVID-19. So there's a lot of suspicion there. There's a lot of, question there, what's happening there with the manipulation of data. The testing is not meant to be clinical diagnostic. We have false positives in that testing. So that raises some important questions. And, I always go back to who had the first COVID-19 test laying around. If you come in with a fever, body aches, and respiratory issues, wouldn't you just call it the flu and send them home? But who had the COVID-19 test laying around? So just the naming of the disease is questionable. Who named it? Who coined the term COVID-19? I like to look into that. I think it calls for an investigation into this whole thing. To say that COVID-19 doesn't exist, I mean, it's hard because people are getting sick. I don't question that, but I look at the whole thing, the full spectrum. And I think that if we are people are getting sick, no question, but I don't believe in naming the disease because if we, I was taught that the difference between a flu and cold is a fever. If you have a flu, you have a fever. If you have respiratory issues with no fever, it's just a cold. It's just a respiratory. Prior to 2020, coronaviruses were just a respiratory common cold. But now naming symptomatology specific as COVID-19 and Omicron, the Delta variant. I mean, it's never going to end. You're going to have more vaccines. I mean, they've been trying to push a COVID vaccine since the 70s, and their goal is to have 200 to 300 vaccines on the schedule by 2030. They're only going to do that, but if they can get a coronavirus strain on the vaccine schedule, and you're seeing that, you're going to have more boosters.
One other thing, real quickly. What is it that you say to governmental bodies when you testify before them? You've done that several times. What are the three main points that you make to them about this whole thing?
Well, first of all, I tell them that there's manipulation of data with the numbers. I said that the testing is faulty. It's never meant to be diagnostic. We are abandoning clinicals 101. The polymerase chain reaction, the PCR test, was never meant to be diagnostic. They go in there, and people are like, "Well, I think they're taking some of my DNA." Well, absolutely. How do you harvest DNA from animals? They do the same thing. They jam a Q-tip to the posterior canal of the sinuses. They grab DNA, then that activates the PCR test. They spin that thing, and basically, it's just an expression of the DNA of that test. And they say, you know, it's not meant to be diagnostic. If a patient comes into your clinic and it has zero symptomatology, and they test you for COVID-19, you test positive, but you're like, "I feel fine," but like, "So you need to go home and quarantine." That's what's happening right now. We have 85% false positives with these tests.
Yeah.
They're not meant to be diagnostic. I mean, if you took your car to the mechanic and they said, "Hey man, your check engine, your motor shot, but the car is running fine," and they're using a similar diagnostic test with an 85 false positives, you never take your car back to that mechanic again. Why are we trusting this PCR test when it's not meant to be diagnostic? I don't care what Wikipedia or Google says. We need to think logically, use common sense here, and just look. We need to look at clinicals. If you come in with symptomatology, you got a fever, I can test it, I can measure it, I can see it, I can put my hands on it. That should correlate and correspond to the test. If it does not, the test should be thrown out in the clinical setting. It should never be used. But we're seeing this right now, and we're abandoning clinical 101 because physicians are afraid to speak out. They're afraid to think logically and go against the narrative because of, for fear of their license being taken away or whatever it may be. But right. That being said, that's number one point I make to these things. And I also talk about how we should have freedom. If you want to get the vaccine, then go get it. But I should have the God-given right and freedoms to refuse the vaccine. Because if anything that has a side effect or anything that can cause harm to the person, you should have a choice. We should have true informed consent, not coercion. Coercion is not consent. And, you know, we're being told right now that you are sick until proven healthy. And mark my words, soon we are not going to be able to. I said this in 2019 and 2020. We're not going to be able to have a driver's license. We'll be able to function in society without proof of the vaccine. And that's what the ACI or the vaccine summit ACIP in 2019 said, that they cannot force vaccinate, but they can force compliance. How are they going to do that?
Sam,
so doctor,
you have
going
there?
Forward, do you, yeah, doctor, going forward, do you believe that we, the people that are truth tellers, on Brighty on TV, on, you know, you, the frontline doctors, more Americans are getting the truth and waking up despite the mainstream press, despite the belligerence of Fauci and others and the dishonesty from the top down. Do you think we're going to really upend them and win? What do you think is going to happen? Or are we going to all be forced to take the vax?
Oh, we win, my friend. Truth wins. Give me liberty or give me death. I told my wife that I will die on this hill. I will die on this hill before I receive any vaccine or my children. And that's the thing. You know, I love the quote that I'm not afraid to die, but I'm afraid to live on my knees in a world run by lesser men who control the destiny of my children. And that is my why. I will fight for them to the death. And that's the thing. I will not. I believe these vaccines are evil. I believe this thing. They don't have a single nutrient in them. God made your body. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. God wins in the end. Truth is on our side. And it doesn't take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority that's lighting the brush fires of freedom in the minds of the people. And that's where we're at.
Ladies and gentlemen, I could have never said it better myself. Dr. Ben, thank you so much, sir. Mac, take us out, sir.
Wow, man, that was great, Dr. Tapper. Thanks, Sam. Thanks to all of you for being a part of the Sheriff Mac Show and Brighty on TV. My good friends.
CSPOA.org, baby.
So, you two are real actors, huh?
Well, I was an extra on a soap opera for 3 years.
And I'm best known for starring in cat food commercials.
Mm. Yeah. And you're going to play our parents for how long? Oh, just during dinner for the next few years, probably until you're both off to college. Your real parents will be back every night at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
Hey, your dad's busy. He's got work, softball, client functions.
Yeah, and your mom, she's got the literary club and play rehearsals. So.
Don't you worry. They'll be back on time.
Otherwise, we get time and a half.
Ka-ching! Okay, according to the script, we're supposed to ask you how your day was.
Yes.
Okay, I guess.
Ooh.
Is that the best you can do?
I think I want my real parents. I don't see that in the script.
No ad-libbing, please.
There's no substitute for a loving parent. And when you're really there, you'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Wow, that was crazy second hour, man. Two incredible guests. Simulcasting with the Sheriff Mac show on Brighty on TV. Also syndicated on Brighty on Radio and LovingLiberty.net. Man, just Liberty Roundtable Live and Sheriff Mac show everywhere. Incredible TV interviews. Two fantastic guests. And I didn't participate for the first little bit of the interview because I upgraded my computer to Windows 11. Oh, boy, is that a difficult thing sometimes. And what it did is it messed up all my devices. To compound things, I am on the road. And so the normal devices that I usually have aren't present. And so anyway, I had to reconfigure my system. And Google blocks everything and Windows 11 blocks everything. And I had to go to 46 different places to get everything approved and unblocked and available and everything else. And they couldn't see me on video. And then there's a switch on your computer and it's hard to know which way the camera really is. It just doesn't end. And so I went through all that, finally got it all together, ladies and gentlemen. Thank heavens I'm a computer guy for a living, but we powered through that and got all that done. So the first hour of Liberty Roundtable Live, we talked about this massive John Hopkins study, lockdowns, masks, closures, none of it reduced deaths, ladies and gentlemen. And John Hopkins University, a huge study now saying government shouldn't be doing this stuff. It doesn't work. It's not valuable. Wow, incredible details. First hour. Second hour, we talked to David A. Clark Jr. about what he's doing. And about his efforts to stand in the gap for liberty, rejecting racism, rejecting Republican-Democrat divide, all standing together shoulder to shoulder for the sacred cause of liberty. David A. Clark Jr. was one of the sheriffs of the year for the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. So we talked to him and highlighted that. What a fantastic first guest. And then the second guest, we returned to the COVID dishonesty. The issue is honesty, ladies and gentlemen. And Brighty on TV, special guest, Dr. Ben Tapper, chiropractor, was with us doing a phenomenal job from Nebraska, highlighting that he's never had a vaccine. His children never had vaccines. And this is the hill he's ready to die on, ladies and gentlemen. This is where he's making a stand saying, look, I don't care about my physician's license. I don't care about, I'm telling you, I'm not taking the vaccines. And I'm going to be a truth teller and tell the tale of liberty all the way down the line. I mean, he said it just incredibly, and he articulates himself well. He's well-researched, well-reasoned. He's a doctor, and he says, look, what we're being told is absolutely bogus regarding the vaccines, and it's not right. The vaccines are experimental. They're not safe. They're not proven effective at all. And we've got to double down in defense of the truth here on this one. And that's the hill he says he's ready to die on. We pray he lives on that hill. In other words, we pray that we're successful. That, and I agree with him. The truth wins in the end. The question is, how much of abuse will we have to take along the way? And I submit the answer to that question, ladies and gentlemen, is how much we the people stand together. If five of us stand up, we're going to get crushed. If 5 million of us stand up, I believe we can turn the tide. We can tell the tale of liberty. We can be truth tellers all the way through, and the truth shall make us free. So I agree with Dr. Tapper, and I agree with Sheriff Richard Mack that, you know what, we can succeed, but it's going to take Americans to jettison the masks. It's going to take Americans to demand that we get natural health and healing solutions. Those are the solutions, folks. Why do I bring them up? Because this is indeed Solutions Radio. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hopefully it was educational and entertaining. Good friends standing together for the sacred cause of liberty. That's what this broadcast is all about, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for all that you do. Our websites, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net, brightyon.tv, brightyonradio.com, and a whole lot more. Spread the word, share the love, tell the tale, stand for freedom. God bless the United States of America.